So how are you, Jason? Are you alive?
I'm hanging on by a thread, but that thread is strong. It's a strong thread. It's made of nanoparticles. So yeah, we're gonna make it through. The show must.
Okay, you look like shit.
Thank you.
Where did we get to in my voyage of excitement in my webcam last time?
Jason told you to go back to the shop and just get a new one or ask for your money back.
I reached the pit of despair, didn't I? So I went back to Aldi and got a refund.
Yes.
On my webcam. So I got $29.99 deposited back into my bank account.
Great.
But that still left me with the problem of having no webcam.
Oh.
So the other day, I was in JB Hi-Fi.
Oh, no.
I was helping my partner buy a soundbar, and I thought, while I'm here, I'm going to pick up a pair of electronic scales.
A what?
To weigh myself. Electronic scales.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to weigh myself because I've not been drinking throughout the month of February, and I feel like I've lost weight, and I wanted to know, but I didn't have any scales. So I knew what I used to weigh vaguely.
Why do you need more than one?
Scales. I don't have them anymore. They broke. So I needed a new pair of scales.
Wait, but why do you need more than one scale?
I think the issue here is that you say scale and we say scales.
Oh, yeah, the scales. Yeah.
Scales, which would imply more than one.
I think we're saying it like it's the old, you know, when you
so
would,
you literally know, go them. And stand on a little platform and then throw rocks onto the other platform until it evens out?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Who would have thought we're still, like, living up to this title brief of Hemispheric Views?
That's amazing.
Like, 106 episodes in, like, what are you talking about?
Still finding variations.
Yeah.
So I was going to buy one.
But yes, just like horoscopes, when you have those tilting ones, or you try to find out if someone's a witch by balancing them with a duck, that's how it works.
Yeah, okay.
But unfortunately, the JB Hi-Fi I was in was not a JB Hi-Fi home, and so they didn't have scale. So instead, I went and looked at
web. No, that the scales would have been correct there because they would not have multiple scales for you to choose from. So that would actually be okay.
So he's sick, but he's onto you.
So instead of scale parentheses S close parenthesis, yes.
Yeah,
I went and looked at webcams
to weigh yourself with.
Obviously, yeah.
And I saw this Logitech webcam on the shelf.
Oh no! It was the C270.
That looks a good webcam.
Okay.
And I looked at the price and it was like $129 or something.
Ooh.
I was like, that's a lot more than $29.99. I'm not sure I want to spend that kind of money. And I checked it out and I remembered what Jason told me. I checked to see, what end USB cord is this? And it was a USB-C. And I was like, that's got to be a good one.
Gotta be.
Gotta be good. So I want it. So I had to get the sales assistant over because it was locked behind a little security thing on the hook.
Hmm.
And I said to him, $129. I'm interested, but is that the best price you can do? And he went, looked at me, and he went, boop, boop, with his little scanner thingy. And he said, well, actually, it's on sale at the moment for $95. And I said, sold!
What? What do you guys do over there with your stores? I don't understand. You just randomly put prices on shit and then you just say like, nah, how about less? And they go, okay. Like, what? It's all just bartering over there. Did you pay with like sacks of salt? Like, what's happening?
Which he weighed with his scales.
With his scale. Yes, exactly. I'll have you know I am 14 bags of salt this week.
Yes.
Okay.
So I took my 95 bags of salt to the counter and paid for this webcam, plugged it in, just quietly. I think it's quite magnificent.
Did you get the one that has like the fabric on the front with the integrated microphone?
Nah, that was too expensive. That was even more.
Did you ask? Who knows? He may have said like, I don't know, it's $30.
I didn't go full 4K. So this is like, I think it's a 1080. It's a Logitech Brio 300 for the nerds who are interested in that kind of thing.
Oh, Brio 300. Okay.
It's got a little flappy thing and I can just turn you guys off. Look. Zip, bye.
Bye.
For all those like people who are scared of like webcams, you can just flip a little shutter over the top.
Okay.
It's got a microphone in it. I'm not using it now. I can't vouch for it. No,
please don't. I'm sure it's very good, but please don't
use it. But ultimately, this means now, and I've rearranged my desk, so now I am in living M1 lifestyle for the podcast permanently. I do not see a change forthcoming.
No wonder you look so good.
It's M1, baby.
It's really nothing to do with the webcam. It's the M1 that's making you look good, probably, right?
Well, who knows? But I'm excited. I've got everything set up. I've got my Stream Deck, got my Evo 4 audio interface, got my microphone, got my Belkin Thunderbolt 3 dock, which runs at about 50,000 Kelvin in temperature.
Love it.
Very hot.
Yep. That's how you know it's working.
Well, I actually bought it. It's sort of, I bought a little USB fan, and when I'm not recording a podcast, I leave the fan turned on, so it is powering its own fan to cool itself down again.
So you're having it use more power to power a fan to cool it off because it's using power?
Yeah. But it actually works. It's like at the moment, fan off. Oof, man, that fry an egg.
Is that like a perpetual motion machine?
I think it could well be.
Okay.
So there you go. Webcam story draws to a conclusion. Happy ending. Andrew ends up with a good webcam, an M1 Mac, and looks sexy. Look at me. Hey.
Yeah. So congratulations on your Logitech Brio 300X.
X?
Oh, did you not get the X one? That's the good one. Shoot.
Really?
Moving on. Next topic. I don't want you to have to go return yet another weapon.
I thought of him when we were buying Moser Roth Aldi chocolate the other day. Alas, no webcams in the special buys.
Moser Roth?
Was it from the special buys?
No. I mean, it was a good deal, but it was just on the normal chocolate shelves, not in the bargain bin with the gherkins and the Pfeffernusser and all that stuff.
I was at Aldi yesterday. They've got a lot of baby stuff in the special buys area, Martin. You might be. Oh, you're probably a bit past baby now.
Oh, you're talking about my child, not me.
Yes. Like, yeah.
What are you talking about? Because for a while they had like washable nappies or diapers for our American listeners. Mm. And I thought, Andrew, that's a bit rude.
Well, I'm just glad for the sake of all of the listeners that you have solved your video problem for this audio podcast.
Good point.
It's perfect.
Still more basketballs.
There's like so many.
Sorry, I've really front-ended my basketball.
Let me just do some strike through here. Here we go.
Strike through. I'll keep this one brief. This is our ad.
We have an ad?
Ad?
Yeah, this is our ad.
Are you dynamically inserting it right now?
Yep.
Okay.
Boop, 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 boop. Hemispheric Views is a fan of the filing system Johnny Decimal. Johnny Decimal has previously been a guest on the show, and he's not sponsoring this episode. He kind of is. He doesn't know he is. Oh, no, this ad's gone terribly.
Keep it up. I'm enjoying it.
He's not giving us...
Keep digging.
It's an ad.
That's a dynamically inserted interjection, by the way.
Yeah.
So now we're going back a level up.
This is all dynamic.
So this is an ad that he doesn't know that is coming for his workshop. So we'll have to hit him up for some money after the event.
Mm.
So normally ad buys in podcasting, usually they give you a chunk of money. I believe this is how it works. They give you a chunk of money. You go read their ad. And that's the exchange. This time we're reading the ad and then we're going to go beg for the chunk of money from Johnny and say, hey, we read your ad. Pay up. He probably won't. So we still need to work on our business approach.
Mm.
Anyway, Johnny Decimal, excellent filing management system for computer nerds or any part of your life, really. Organize your stuff with numbers. You don't understand, you might say. Well, have I got the answer for you? Simply join the Johnny Decimal workshop where you can watch and interact with Johnny himself, I believe, to find out how to make this happen in your own world. Johnny has previously written a workbook. This is not the workbook. You may get the workbook. I don't know. It's not my deal. But he is offering a workshop, okay? And maybe at the workshop, it's a shop, like a store, so maybe you could buy the workbook. Maybe you could call it the work store. for Americans. And then you could get the workbook at the work store. But he's calling it a workshop because he's an Australian. But he's not Australian, he's an Englishman. He's in the Southern Hemisphere, but he's kind of with a Northern Hemisphere background. Anyway, this Johnny Decimal workshop.
He's definitely paying us for this.
Johnny Decimal workshop is something else. I've only seen a little bit of it. Actually, I've seen hardly any of it. But from what I've seen, it's really good, and I think you should do it. So Johnny Decimal, there's full details on the website, and there'll be a link to that in the show notes. And thank you for your support, Johnny, and we'll send you the invoice shortly.
Boop, 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 boop. Nailed it. Anybody that says we don't do ads like no one else, I don't know. This is
the one thing that was missing, I think, was like a trademark Andrew jingle, some singing.
Ah,
here's your chance.
He did have the kind of like sleazy salesman kind of voice a little bit, which was kind of nice. Like, let me tell you.
Okay. Challenge has been thrown down. Let me see what I can do.
Martin.
Okay. There's such a thing as Fahrenheit. It doesn't make any sense. If you go to a library, they'll often use the Dewey one. What I think is best is a number system that is divisible by 1,000 and 110 and 1. We have the Johnny Decimal System, much like the Dewey Decimal System, much like, not the Fahrenheit, the Centigrade System, otherwise known as Celsius. It is Johnny Decimal. And scene.
Wow.
That's... I imagine that'll be the opener for the workshop, if I could guess. Yeah, I really liked how you left that pause there to make us think that you didn't know what the next part was going to be. But it was really just meant for a placeholder for us to have some time to absorb what just happened so we could prepare ourselves for the next verse. We could do a dynamically inserted song into your song.
That would be something else.
You know what the best part is? There's another basketball.
Another basketball. Here we go. Fire away. It's like that game at the arcade where you're playing the basketball, but they just keep coming back to you. So you have to keep trying to throw them away, but they just keep coming back.
I'll shut up after
Meanwhile,
this.
The clock is going just like ours.
I'll shut up after this. Really short one. This is just me bragging, really. So recently the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, happened to have a show in, not Portland, Oregon.
No.
Not Wollongong, New South Wales.
No.
That would make sense.
Perth, Western Australia.
Yeah.
The WWE Elimination Chamber.
That sounds scary.
The live premium event held before WrestleMania to decide who would be facing off for the championship belts. This event was outstanding. It was really fun. It was at Optus Stadium in Perth. 50-odd thousand people at the event, eclipsing the previous record for this event by about 20,000 people, I should say. So well done, Perth. WWE was really cool. I did find, however, that because of the seating was cool, but basically you have to watch the screens because the event is so big. You're in a big stadium. People are only so big. You know, the ring is up there, but basically you end up having to watch the screens the whole time.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere is something else. And I just want to say, WWE, good show. Thank you. And I enjoyed it.
I think we do a foot. Let's do go foot. From a from foot. A hand sport to a foot sport.
All right. So I know that Jason already thinks that this is lunacy. Andrew, I'm guessing you do too.
I do.
I'm completely on board already, and I don't even know about it.
Okay, right. So, recently Natasha said, you know what? We're living in this sea of digital technology. It's a bit overwhelming. Maybe we need a little escape occasionally. Maybe there's another device out there that can kind of help us step back from the deluge of notifications and chat apps and all that stuff. I was like, oh, this is something that she was thinking of doing, and I thought, I'll jump on the bandwagon as well. It also involved a trip to JB Hi-Fi, just like Andrew had.
Yes.
And it was the purchase of a Nokia 2660 Flip. Are either of you aware of this device?
Wait a second. Hold on. I'm pulling up a window. You said
2660.
2660.
That should be the number.
Flip?
Flip.
Do I need the flip designation? Is that required?
I mean, it's part of the name, but it might still come up.
Okay.
I found it.
Okay, here we go.
I didn't know Nokia still made phones.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they were purchased by another company. I think they remain Finnish, but the whole disaster with Microsoft and all that.
I take back what I said about fully supporting this. This is awful.
I thought you would think that.
Oh.
Well, no, I have ideas to share about this.
Ooh.
Thoughts.
I'm looking at a spec sheet here, and I am not happy about what I'm seeing.
It's not supposed to be a device that is like anything that you would call modern or computer.
So it checks all those boxes, let me tell you, my friend. Sorry, go ahead.
So Natasha thought of doing this. No, that's fine. That's cool. It is strange. And I thought, you know what? I'll jump on the bandwagon as well. So I've got it right here in red, right? And I actually quite like it. In terms of a design, it's very retro in a kind of... I don't know. Also, Jason looks like he's in pain in addition to his illness.
I want to see him take a call on it and just have people look at him like, what the hell, dude?
Well, no, we went in there and we said, oh, we're thinking about buying a couple of these just as a bit of an escape. And he said, seriously, it's a thing. I've had lots of people come in, young and old, buying these as a kind of escape from the daily norm, right? Because to be clear, this is not like any kind of smartphone. It's not even like one of those Nokias that ran Android in like the full sense. This is a full-on use the keypad to type out an SMS, doesn't support any apps other than some light Facebook thing that they put on there. It's really bare bones, old world style mobile from late 90s, early noughties, right? And I just had some thoughts to share about it. Very mixed feelings. And some of it's predictable. I thought going into it, this is a stupid idea for me. It might work for Natasha, but it's a stupid idea for me just because I have to be so connected. Whether it's for work, this podcast, other things that I do, it relies on being connected through apps that you find on the App Store with your iPhone, right? But I wanted to give it a go at least for intermittent, take the SIM out, pop it in this, if you want to escape and just
swapping be SIMs completely as well.
Without that stuff. Yeah, I put the SIM in there. It's for the full experience.
That answers my first question because I have no SIM card, so I was curious how you were switching. But if you have physical SIM still.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I use a dual SIM, so I have a physical SIM for my personal number and an eSIM for my work one.
Okay.
That's right. But easily enough, pop open the iPhone tray, pop it in here, there you go. So on the one hand, it is actually incredibly refreshing to walk out of the house when you don't really have anything to do or anywhere to be, maybe more of weekend mode. It's great to just leave everything behind and have this thing and know that if you're with family, the most important people are with you. And if someone else contacts you, it's probably going to be okay and they can wait. Not as bad as I thought with the typing on the keypad thing. I did have a phone with this sort of, number keypad years ago, and I wasn't a huge fan of it, but it's kind of a retro fun thing to do now, more nostalgic. Also, just the act of flipping a phone open and close to answer is quite fun.
How many times
it's
have you pretended that you're on the Matrix? Go on. How many times?
I had that thought, yeah.
Have you walked into a phone booth?
Give me an exit. Well, we have one down the road. They just do the free Telstra Wi-Fi now in Australia, as you know, Andrew. So it's like, I can just go in there and get me an exit.
Which that phone probably can't use.
Yeah, that's probably true, actually. Actually, it's been fun to load my blog and other people's websites on here because it can't render the normal internet. When Steve Jobs said, this isn't baby internet, this is the full internet. This is baby internet. This is like looking at a Microsoft Word bullet list in Times New Roman of your own blog. So it's hilarious. So, look, it's fun. It's actually pretty lightweight considering how kind of, not super thick, but it is thicker, right? It is a thick device when you flip it closed. But the thing that I knew would be a problem and the thing that kind of sadly creates anxiety when you think you're trying to escape it is the group chat situation, which I think most people listening probably would have assumed that, listening on the way so far. So obviously people following this podcast are probably familiar with things like iMessage, Apple's whole thing. Are they going to support RCS or whatever it is, that better replacement for MMS that would you know, connect Android and iPhone, you know, interoperability or group chats a bit better. This is just pure SMS and MMS. So if you two were to message me, I would get your iMessages, assuming you sent it to my Apple ID and not my number. But the moment that someone sends you an iMessage associated with your number, if that's how they have your contact saved, it's like, uh-oh, Martin doesn't exist anymore, fragments the chat, and suddenly the message that was once sent to you and someone else in the same chat gets sent into two streams like you're on Android. You following me?
Wait.
Yeah, I think so.
How are you getting... You just said if I sent it to your iMessage, like your email or whatever, you'd still get it. How are you getting that on that thing?
I'm not. That's the thing. This is purely stuck in the past.
Oh, you're saying it's still... It's going to a device at which you will look at later.
Correct.
But if they send it to your phone number...
Or my watch if I had it on.
Okay, yep. Got it. Yep.
It goes to his iPad mini that he now has to carry with him at all times.
Well, seriously, when I was trying it out and I was telling you guys in case something happened, I said, oh, make sure you've got like the email or Apple ID address associated with it. And I was messaging you like running to the study to text on my computer because I was testing this thing and didn't have an iPhone working. And I didn't have my watch on, so I was like, oh my God. So anyway, I don't want to bang on about this too much, but hopefully that explanation makes sense to you two and everyone listening. I thought it would be interesting to take Natasha's idea and kind of run with it and see just how uncomfortable I would be not being connected the whole time with an iPhone. And on the one hand, I feel very comfortable wearing the watch and having the phone, but I do feel, maybe ashamed is too strong a word, but I do feel very self-conscious and slightly disappointed at how sucked into a technological life I have become. And that's not abnormal. Like everyone listening to this, everyone on the planet who basically has a phone is like this, but I am pleased that I've kind of lifted the veil a bit on that for myself. So I don't know. Anyone listening, if there's a way that you can kind of test your technological dependence or see just how uncomfortable you can be without the normal stuff, give it a go. You might be surprised.
Interesting. We look forward to hearing more about this journey, Martin.
Do you have a belt holster for it?
Not yet. Okay. But that's a good idea.
I feel like that's kind of the next logical step.
Long-time listeners may be aware and may never have clicked through. New listeners, don't waste any time. There's a Hemispheric Views Discord with all sorts of chat. There's fun chat. There's interesting chat. There's nerdy chat.
Not on flip phones, though.
No, we don't have a flip phone chat.
Sorry.
But what came up the other day, I think this is where I saw it anyway. I'm giving the big shout out for the Discord and then saying, I think this is where I saw it, was this service called Grocy. Grocy.info.
That name.
Pretty gross.
I don't know about that name.
Grocy.info. I couldn't resist. I clicked through and oh my God, this is one of these apps that is, it excites me to the nth degree. I look at this and go, oh my gosh, this is designed for me. However, it's just a little too much, even for me. I think I love it. I love the implementation. I don't think I'll do it. I just don't think so. I think I'm good with any list. That's enough. But Grocy is basically, well, they describe it as ERP beyond your fridge. It's a web-based self-hosted groceries and household management solution for your home. You can go in there and you can set up an entire SKU system, stock keeping unit system, for every grocery item that you have in your house. And then as you...
Does that include webcams?
Don't know.
Maybe for you.
So you could say, I just purchased 3 salmon fillets, right? And then it's got a rest...
Fillets for those of us that are up here.
What was that?
Fillets.
Oh,
sorry, just doing a translation there live. Yeah, it's like a dynamically inserted translation.
So you get 3 of them, and then you look in the recipe component of this same app, and it says you want to make salmon bisque, right? And it'll say, this recipe says it needs 4 salmon fillets.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot. But then your ERP, your grocery ERP system will say, you only have 3 in stock, you're 1 short.
Oh, no.
And so you can manage your whole stock and like have a reordering system for your stock. You know, things run low. It's like, okay, when do they expire? You can put in expiry dates and it will say you need to reorder because it's expired. It's incredible.
Oh, my God.
I saw somewhere in here that it does. It has a scanner integration thing as well.
I can hear the guy at your front door right now that's there to install the little pneumatic tubes to put the receipts in to shoot around the house.
If this works on Australian barcodes, I don't know. I haven't gone that far. But if it were to work on Australian barcodes, I'd be highly tempted. Do you know how much fun I would have just going like, boop, and putting it, boop, putting things away and then seeing what my stock levels are, understanding how quickly I work through certain items. Like, oh, geez, rice is really moving fast this week. I must be making a lot of curries. You know, like,
are you like printing receipts for yourself the way Mr. Bean sends himself Christmas cards?
God. That would be cool. And then I could even maybe do it like when I'm cooking. Then you could set up a little receipt printer and you could print out the order and then you could clip it up as you're cooking. You'd be like, all right, I need one green curry with white rice. I know we have a lot of white rice because I stocked up.
As soon as you said like grocery, ER, whatever you started this story with,
yep.
The first thing that came to my mind was that Simpsons gif of, I think it's the grandpa, where he like comes in and like puts his hat on the hook and then does a circle and just goes right back out. That's basically where I landed when you said home grocery ERP.
Can I finish with one other feature that it has? I'm not going to go on about it because I'm not using it yet. I'm not using it, so I can't really vouch for it. But I think this is something that even you, Jason Burke, would enjoy.
Oh.
It has a battery tracker.
What?
A battery tracker, you might say.
That's exactly what I would say. Go on.
So you can track when you charged the batteries in your various devices. You can assign a date.
Why?
And then each time you charge it, you can say, charged, and it will keep track of the charge cycles, and it will tell you when the last time you charged it. So when your Apple TV remote, you're like, when's the last time I charged that? Surely it's running out of battery. You just check your battery tracker. You say, oh, yes, I last plugged it in on the 1st of February, and it's had 7 charge cycles.
What's wrong with the notification that comes up saying your Apple TV remote is low?
Well, your crappy telephone probably doesn't have that.
You're going to implement this for your flip phone.
Insulted.
You have just shat upon my flip phone, sir. Excuse me, I have a call. What's that?
Sorry, I'm just on the phone now. So Andrew's being removed from the show. I agree, it's just out of control. All right.
Ever since when I was a young boy, I used to try doing home inventories on my Commodore 128. I used to try creating statistical packages. Like I'd watch the cricket and I'd create my own run rate charts on my own computer to be broadcast to nobody except myself. I feel like I've got a long history of this kind of businessy kind of approach to life in my computing world. And it'd be a shame for me not to use it.
Yeah, I mean, you could run this whole system for no one but you.
Exactly.
You've talked me into the fact that you should be using this. Yeah, so for sure. Get into this. So next episode, you can give us some info. And make sure you go grocery shopping before then so we actually have some data to act upon.
It's the backlog of stock that I'm worried about inputting. God, that's going to take a long time. Do you know how many spices I have? You blew up the internet, Jason.
I don't know about that, but we did do something fun, and that was Office Space GIFs. Everyone knows about Office Space, probably, I think. If you haven't heard of it, I would be surprised. If you haven't seen it, maybe, but you've at least heard of it. So I already wrote a blog post about it today. Was that today? I think that was today. Yeah, that was this morning.
Yeah, I saw it in my feed.
I responded to you.
Kind of detailing what this was all about, but the gist of it was there's animated GIFs of all kinds of movies with fun lines, but to me, like every line in the movie is basically, it stands alone and it's like perfect. It's just like a million perfect lines. So why don't we have an animated GIF of every single line of the entire movie? all 1 hour and 37 minutes of it or whatever it is. So I did that first and created 1,102, I think, GIFs. So one GIF per line of dialogue in the entire movie. So over 1,000, which was great. I was very excited about that. And then it's like, what do you do with that? Now you have 1,000 animated GIFs. I don't, what do we do? So logically, you would say, well, you would create a robot to post to Mastodon every some number of hours, like a random one, because why would you not want that? So I tried to set up a Mastodon bot on, like, there's like instances that are made for bots, basically, that are like, because like most instances, you don't want just like a bunch of garbage like flooding the timeline. So there's these like bot instances for this purpose. Anyway, I tried to sign up for one and like never heard back. I tried again. I tried like 5 times, never heard back. Tried a different one, never heard back. And then I was just kind of like, ugh, this sucks. Now what do I do? So what you're always supposed to do is put it on your damn website. That's what you do. When you want something, build it yourself, put it on a website. So I made a new page on my site that was /office, so you could get a random one every time the page loads. That's fun.
It is fun.
And that's kind of where I thought it was going to end.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah, like it went insane. I shared it on Mastodon, and then like it was getting some boosts, some like, and like it went nuts, and it was very quickly like 1,000 page views, 5,000, 10,000, and it just kept going. Thousands and thousands and thousands of page views. I was very surprised. I thought like 8 people would be like, oh, that's funny, and then like it would die and that would be it. And fortunately, I had them all hosted on bunny.net, so like an actual CDN, like a proper CDN, not like a, not like the BS I used to have that was like a fake CDN. And that thing would create, because you know, a page view is a page view, but like every refresh is a new animated GIF. So it was going like, it was, you know, 1,000, it was like 5,000, 10,000. It got over 100,000 freaking serves of files and like something like 60 gigabytes of data transfer or something like that. Like, and it's, wow, still going. It's nuts. But anyway, I like was like, oh, and then people started like with, then as with anything you put on the internet, then you start getting like request, like feature requests. So it was like, this should be a Mastodon bot. I'm like, I know it should, but like, yeah. And then like, oh, you need to add this, you need to add that. I'm like, oh crap, I just created a job for myself.
Yeah, so, I asked for I want a unique link for every GIF. Come on, chop chop.
And that was another one. Everybody wants a permalink to each individual one. I don't know. Anyway, so what do you do when you need like a thing on the internet to work and be cool? You call Rob and Adam, obviously. Like, that's what you do. So we got on a conference.
Just to be clear, Ruminate and OMG.LOL, yes, respectively.
That would be Rob Knight of the Ruminate Fame podcast and Adam Newbold of OMG Fame.
He's certainly not of We've Got Family fame, because that show never turns up.
Ooh, ouch. Any day
now.
Why
are you alienating our UK ambassador?
Sorry, that should have gone through our private back channels, shouldn't it?
I think you want to get PR involved with those statements.
I'm going to instate myself here as the official PR department. I think we need to have we'll take this offline, as they say on Microsoft Teams.
If you could run that through marketing next time before just throwing it out there.
That is strangely, I've actually heard that in my actual job.
Yep.
Welcome, I wonder why.
To the world. So we all flew to a neutral location between the three of us. We met in a conference room at a Holiday Inn, and we hashed it out, and we got the automatic posty thing going. We got, we needed a Mastodon instance. So like, you know, what do you do about that? I didn't want to put it on the social.one, cause that's like, you're kind of crapping it up with stuff. So Adam said, you know, in typical Adam fashion, well, here's a whole brand new instance just for bots. because that's the quickest approach to anything. It's just build a whole new thing. So he did that, and then we had the Office Space GIFs thing, and now it's posts every 6 hours, and it's quite fun. And now we also have Rob's favorite movie, which is Back to the Future. So we did Back to the Future, and now that is another one. So now Beep.Town, which is the instance, is basically like a drive-in movie theater where you watch multiple movies at the same time, completely out of order, with no audio.
It's a new way of consuming media, really.
I'm certainly following the Innertech at Innertech at Beep.Town. I'm enjoying that. I haven't yet followed the Back to the Future because that movie, I like it, but it's not so important to me. But Office Space, well, I've seen it many times.
This is where we'll have to fight again out of this podcast, because to say anything from Back to the Future is unimportant is a little bit distressing.
Well, I have to say it's kind of become a little bit of an addiction now, and I kind of want to just keep going. So I would not be surprised if there are...
When's the one you promised me coming? Huh? When's that coming?
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is the next thing that's going to happen is I'm going to start getting requests for like, well, what about my movie? What about my movie?
Oh, no, I'm not just talking about a movie. I mean, I want The Matrix. I want Reloaded. I want Revolutions. I want Resurrections. I want Animatrix. I want the cut scenes from Enter the Matrix.
Looks like you might need a server.
Any gift that relates to The Matrix, it's in there.
Okay, we can make that happen.
It's going to be a new GIF. You just mentioned Server Farm. Yeah, it's going to be Jason plugged into the actual like power plant. It's going to be served directly from his brain.
Absolutely. So yeah, that was the Office Space GIFs thing. It was a lot of fun. And it was just one of those like, hey, look, the internet can be cool and fun and not stupid and dumb. Sometimes.
Was there anything unsettling in the box that came back to you recently from Japan?
Oh, one more, geez, more time. Follow-up you do at the end, right? Is that, I think so. I think you do follow-up at the end.
We do now.
Follow-end. Some people may have been following my saga of a lens mount conversion in which I emailed someone at Sigma, the photo company, and said, I'd like to have a lens mount conversion. And they said, sure. Can you please fill out this online PDF that looks like it's from 1994. And I said, yes. And I filled it out. And what they didn't tell me was that by filling that out, they meant print it. Okay. So I printed it. I put a lens, e-mount lens, in a box with a piece of paper and shipped it off. Didn't know what was going to happen. Okay. Checking status just shows you the same PDF form that you filled out. So that's not super helpful. And then I got your work is done. We're shipping it back. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay. Still not really sure if this was even what was promised. My assumption was that I was sending an E mount and I would receive the exact same thing back with an L mount.
Mm.
That was the deal. So I paid them. They shipped it back. It arrived at my house. I opened it. It looked the same. Everything still said E-mount, so I was a little bit skeptical. I was a little bit concerned that I just paid his money to effectively have it cleaned or something. and I opened it, and here's where I made a potentially foolish decision.
Oh, no.
I grabbed my camera body and just jammed it right on there, and it was fine. Oh. It went right on. It was an L-mount. All was well. But after I did that, I had a moment of like, that could have gone very badly for me if I had shoved like an E-mount in there and tried to like twist it on there. Because if people don't know, like you put a lens on and then you basically turn it like a quarter to a half turn generally because it's like a bayonet mount thing. But yeah, fit on there. Everything works great. It's comically large for this tiny camera body that I have, but turns out a camera lens mount conversion is a thing. It's like surgery for a lens. But yeah, it was a very weird experience, but it all worked out nicely. And they did actually clean it before they sent it back. So there you go.
Success.
I just love, like, if you were to ever sell this in future or you got separated from it or whatever, just imagine decades to come, some poor person is going to try shoving it into their antique E-mount. and ruining that camera.
Yeah, I do wonder about that. That is odd.
Can you just get a Sharpie? Just change it?
I actually, what I thought was going to happen was that I would send them this one and they would just send me like the L mount version back.
Oh,
like
really?
Just a different one. Like they would just trade swap in. It.
Nah.
Yeah. But no, it's the same serial number, same everything. So yeah, crazy.
Thanks for the update.
Pretty neat though. I love the fact that that helps, you know, keep your stuff useful, especially with lenses. Cause like lenses literally last forever. Like they don't go out of, there's nothing for like digital cameras get shit because the technology changes, whatever. But like a lens is a lens basically. So the fact that you can kind of keep it going if you change systems is pretty cool.
Unless you get a fungal issue. That's a shame.
Yeah. If you get some fungus in there, that's no good. Or if you start having like some elements detach from each other, but other than kind of that stuff, they basically last forever. I mean, you can get a lens from 1911 and it's going to do the same thing that it did back then.
So basically advice to listeners, if you've got cameras and lenses, don't be wasteful, breathe new life into things.
Yeah.
And watch out for fungus.
Yeah. Oh, well that's just life lesson in general. Always watch out for fungus.
But you know, I'm a fun guy.
End show on that one.
Three, two, one. Stop.
Decimal. And scene.